Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Final Sabres fall to Edmonton. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets the game winner, 8:59 into the third period. Buffalo appearing to score. Yuri Kulik maybe had his second of the game, but it ends up being kicked in and taken off the board with 3:43 left. And the Sabres unable to get a third goal, and they fall 3-2. 1-3 on the road trip. Not going to get it done in terms of, again, any sort of miracle run back toward a playoff spot. These trips together, these weeks together, they have to result in winning records at the very least. And 1-3, not going to get it done. We'll get you highlights coming up and scores from around the league. We'll update you on the standings. We do know this. The Sabres will remain in last in the East, at least 6 points back of its nearest competitor, the New York Islanders, who play tonight at 7:30. For now, though, let's bring in Paul Hamilton and get his thoughts here on this one. Paul, it felt like a game that the Sabres could have won. We know, of course, they drew a break. No Connor McDavid. They put up 19 shots in the third, 41 in the game, but cannot bury one. And two goals is going to rarely win you a hockey game at the end of the night.
Well, we've been told by Kevin Adams numerous times that this team has enough goal scoring, so he doesn't go out and get goal scorers. And 77 shot attempts in Calgary, they lost 5-2. 73 shot attempts this afternoon, they lost 3-2. They do not have enough goal scoring, but unfortunately the person who is in charge of forming this team thinks they do, so that's part of the problem, and as well as just the little details of the game. I mean, there are a lot of different ways where Buffalo could have won that game. Stuart Skinner, yes, he had a very good game. You know, definitely, I would, even though he let in one that he'd want back, I definitely would say he's the star of the game, making 39 saves on 41 shots. James Reimer doesn't take a back seat. He made 31 saves on 34 shots. You can't blame him on the goals. And I thought he was excellent also. I could have easily seen him as a star, although I don't disagree with Skinner, Nugent Hopkins, and Kulik. Kulik, it was a good call. I mean, he definitely kicked the puck in at 16:47. It would have tied the game for the Sabres, but, you know, the little things that lose you hockey games, and Lindy Ruff talked about details when he showed up here at his first press conference, and it's details that kill this team. I mean, the game-winning goal, J.J. Paterka, watch the replay. I tweeted it out. He's completely oblivious that Nugent Hopkins just skated by him. Had no clue. Well, guess who got the puck? Nugent Hopkins. Well, you're not going to blame Reimer on that. He's wide open now. But there was a guy there who was in position that could have picked him up but didn't. Nugent Hopkins' first goal to tie the game. I mean, this is another game where Buffalo blew a 1-0 lead and a 2-1 lead. At 13:20 of the second period. They have a 2-1 lead. Well, what happens there? First of all, Kapanen does the old Denny Savard spinorama, makes Dylan Cousins look absolutely silly. And then he puts the puck to the crease, and Alex Tuch is puck-watching, and he just lets Nugent Hopkins free, and he jumps on the puck that's laying in the crease and scores. Just those little details. Why did Jeff Skinner score? Well, you look at that goal. Bryson throws the puck right up the middle, right to the Oilers. It's in your net. I mean, those details. In the first period, was their puck management was horrendous, but yet they got out of the period 1-1. And then in the first 8 minutes of the second period, or 9 minutes, I'm sorry, they had 14 shots. And then at three the rest of the period. In this game, in the first 4:16 of the third period, they're out shooting Edmonton 11-1. And next thing I knew, Edmonton scored. I mean, they were just all over them. There were so many opportunities to score goals for Buffalo, but it's the little details that they just, you know, this wasn't lack of effort or anything like that. They won plenty of battles. I mean, the one play, I mean, coming in from the left point, a guy like Rasmus Dahlin came through the circle and absolutely ripped a shot, but Stuart Skinner was right there. I mean, you look at Rasmus Dahlin, he's been getting assists lately, but it's been ages since he scored a goal. I mean, and he's on the power play, and he has probably an assist a game, and assists are good, but a guy with Dahlin's talent and get scoring opportunities. He hasn't scored a goal since November 23rd, since before Thanksgiving was the last time he scored a goal. I mean, now he's had 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 assists since then. Most of those assists have come since December 23rd. He's basically put them together. But he hasn't scored a goal. It had a great opportunity to score a goal, as did others. Kulik had, you know, he kicked the puck in, and that's one of those things, he couldn't get his stick loose, and it's one of those reaction things. You're trying to do anything to score a goal, and your leg kind of goes on you, and he kicked it in. It's fine, whatever. It wasn't like he could get a stick on it that he would have scored, and it was the right call, but he had other opportunities in the period to score. Thompson on that last power play had a couple of golden opportunities and couldn't score. They had guys cutting in alone. They had 2-on-1s. They had 3-on-1s, all working hard to produce these. So it's not lack of effort, but it's just being oblivious. And that's not just this group. How long have I been talking about this team being oblivious? Rasmus Ristolainen was playing with this team, and I was yelling about that. It just doesn't. The players change, the coaches change, everything changes, but they're still oblivious. They still have no situational awareness for the most part, and guys are standing with them, flying by them, and they don't their head's not in a swivel, you know? They're not looking around. They're not paying attention. And then they wonder why they never win with talent. And they got talent. I mean, we've seen them play well at times. We saw them play well today, and we saw them play well against Calgary for the most part. You saw, and I texted you this. I mean, who would have thought that the Pittsburgh Penguins come in and you totally shut down Crosby, nothing. You totally shut down Malkin, nothing. And you lose 5-2. So here you come in against the Edmonton Oilers. And who would have thought, you know, well, they don't have McDavid. He's suspended. And they have the leading goal scorer by 7 goals. In the league, he has 35 goals. By the way, he hit the side of the net on an empty netter coming in alone down the left wing side. He probably will never do that again. But didn't get the empty netter against a team that is the worst in the NHL at giving up empty netters. And so you've got McDavid suspended, and you've got 35 goal scorer and the guy who was second in the league in points, Leon Draisaitl, and you held him pointless. And you noticed him twice. Once when Samuelson handed him the puck right in the slot, And Reimer made a great save on that. And the other time on the open netter that he hit the side of the net and didn't score. So you did that. You did a nice job on Dreisaitl. You did a nice job on Crosby. And you did a nice job on Malkin. But you only scored two goals in both those games. You lose both games. And, you know, it's just you pound your head against the wall. It's like, well, even when you do well, Ovechkin, where was he? They did win that game, you know, 4-3 in a shootout. So, okay, at the time, the Capitals, I don't even remember now, they were the number one or number two team in the NHL at the time. I think number two. And, well, you beat them that time because you put four on the board. If you would have scored two in that game, you would have lost that game too, and you totally shut down Ovechkin. So even when you do well, you just can't seem to get over the hump. It's just because you're not detail-oriented as a team because you don't listen to your coach. Or maybe you do listen to your coach, but you don't figure it out, and you get into pressure situations, and pressure just gets to you, and you can't handle it.
You mentioned Reimer, Paul, with a couple of nice saves, and, you know, they got away with playing what might be their third best goalie in their organization with an opportunity to win. I mean, you give up three to Edmonton, you probably at the very least you can think here have a chance to at least get a point out of the game, but they couldn't get that third goal. So in games when Reimer plays, which maybe you go in thinking like, all right, we're definitely the underdog here now. Like, I don't think there was anything here tonight that would have thought, oh, they lost this game at all because of playing their backup goalie.
I think Reimer's been okay for the most part. He had to wait until November 23rd to play his first game as a Sabre. Remember, he started the year in Anaheim, and then the Sabres reclaimed him, and he won. He won that game, making 31 saves on 33 shots, and he hasn't won since. But he played against the New York Islanders, gave up only two goals, had 17 saves on 19 shots. Here was the one that I thought he didn't look good in. That was the Detroit Red Wings game. It was an overtime game where he gave up five goals on 31 shots. So he made 26 saves. He came in relief against Montreal, played a period, stopped all six shots. Against Toronto, he played 33-26 and stopped 14 of 15 shots. Against Boston, he goes into Boston, plays very well, only gave up two goals, 16 on 18 shots. And then in Vegas, I thought he was excellent, but lost. Gave up three goals on 33 shots, made 30 saves. So when you look at it overall, I would say only one appearance, the one against Detroit on December 9th, would be the only one I'd have issues with. I think he's been great as a backup goalie, and I would not blame him at all for what, even though he's losing games, I would not blame him at all for what's going on in those games.
3-2 Edmonton over Buffalo. Paul Hamilton here with me, Brian Koziel. On the post-game show, Sabres put up 41 shots, including 19 in the third, but unable to get that third goal, and Edmonton holds on for that 3-2 victory. The Sabres will come back home to start up a homestand on Tuesday when they take on the Boston Bruins. And don't forget Rob Ray Hall of Fame night next Friday when they host Nashville. Paul and I will be talking more about Rob's induction here and our upcoming broadcasts over the course of these next two games. Paul, they finished the road trip 1-3. As I mentioned, you know, if there's going to be any sort of run here to get themselves back in it, every week has to be a winning week. So we chalk this one up as another kind of wasted week.
Well, we all know there's no chance at all that they're going to go on, a run here or make the playoffs. Even if they go on the run, we discussed this the other day. I think they could win 10 in a row right now. And honestly, I don't think that would put them in a playoff spot. It would definitely make the conversation interesting, and they'd be in the hunt, but you got to leapfrog eight teams. That's not happening. They can win 10 in a row, and they're not going to be in the playoffs because they're not going to leapfrog eight teams. They're just not. So, and a lot of Montreal's gotten hot, Detroit's gotten hot, Ottawa got hot, now they're not. But other teams get hot, and they fly by you, and you just sit in the You just sit in the last position in the Eastern Conference. And I know they like to say, and Kevin Adams likes to say, and I would imagine Terry Pegula likes to say, although we don't know what he likes to say because he doesn't talk to us, that well, they don't deserve to be there. They're a better team than that. No, they're not. They absolutely deserve to be there. They absolutely are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. They are there by merit, and they absolutely are one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. And we've in our little conversation here that we've had for the last 10 or 15 minutes, we've kind of rounded out why.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They can't score goals when it matters. They can't hold leads. And they have a lack of awareness on plays, which leads to goal against. I think not to sum up the season there, but I feel like we've said all three of those points in many games this year. All right, Paul. Well, we get to see each other in person for some home games upcoming. Boston on Tuesday, and then I'm really looking forward to Rob's going into the Hall of Fame on Friday night. So at the very least, we'll have some good Rob Ray stories next Friday.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to. If you're a fan, I know there's not really much to look forward to other than that when you go to games, or if you want to go see a superstar like McDavid and Draisaitl, because they still have not been in the arena yet, and they will be coming up. But, you know, it's just that's at least something that we can be excited about, because he certainly is well-deserving, something we've talked about. And just not only for – he was such a fan favorite here, did his job the way it was supposed to be done. He could change how games were, the momentum of games, just by knowing the right time at the right place. But not only that, it's also – you know, the what he does off the ice and as a broadcaster and the charity work that he does. He doesn't get recognized for it, and he doesn't want to be recognized for it. He kind of does it on his own. Christmas Eve, giving out food, or Thanksgiving Eve, giving out food and turkeys and that kind of thing. Giving out presents to kids, you know, Christmas week, Christmas Eve, you know, being away from his family and doing those things. Those are things that he doesn't want to get credit for, but those are the things that he does in this community. So richly deserving in the honor that he's going to get.
Yep. Well said. I agree. Paul, thanks a lot. We will enjoy the Bills game tomorrow. We'll talk to you Tuesday with the Sabres and the Bruins.
Okay. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton here on our post-game show. Sabres fall 3-2. We'll read some tweets upcoming here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send them in at Brian WGR. We'll read some of those next segment. All right, we will take a timeout here on the post-game and say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the post-game, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll get you some highlights, stats, scores from around the league, update you on the standings as we roll on here on the post-game. Oilers beat the Sabres 3-2. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Twice he tried to get to the bench, twice the puck went through with him. Reimer's got to come up for this one. Now he's out of the net. Oh, big save as Power in front of the net, turn in front of that shot.
Oh, Owen Power coming up big with a stop. James Reimer was good, but one of the biggest plays of the day, Owen Power stopped a goal in the first period with his skate. And we're going to call that the save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Honda dealer today. 3-2 Edmonton, the final. Let's get to our goal of the game now. We go to the 8:59 mark of period number three, and it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins coming through as J.J. Paterka can't get there to cover him up, and his second of the night ends up being the game winner.
Oilers back to the near side. They score. Nugent-Hopkins down the right side picks up his second in the game. Back-to-back goals for him. And it's a 3-2 Oilers lead with 11:01 to go in the third.
Nurse sets him up with a nice pass for his 15th, and at 8:59, that put Edmonton up 3-2, and they go on to win it by that 3-2 score. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Yeah, Draisaitl missing the empty net. That was kind of a surprise there, but it kept it a one-goal game. I mean, Calgary essentially is a one-goal game. They lose 5-2, but Calgary threw in two empty netters. So these last two games were there for the taking, but the Sabres did not score a goal in the third in Calgary, did not score a goal here in Edmonton in the third. And for as often as they score first, they've scored first now 31 times in 49 games. 31 out of 49 times the Sabres have scored first And they have the worst record in the entire Eastern Conference. Like, that just doesn't add up. You get the first goal. You should be playing with your mentality. Team should be chasing you. They are the ones that have to change the game plan. But, you know, we've seen them give up their lead so quickly. Look at tonight, 17 seconds. The 1-0 lead goes right to 1-1 when Jeff Skinner scores. Let's get our final stats in, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, again, 19-7 Buffalo. It ends up 41-34 in favor of the Sabres. Reimer was good, 31 saves. Stuart Skinner, excellent. He gets named the first star in this game. He had 39 saves overall, stopping the Sabres today. Let's look at individual statistics. Yuri Kulik, 6 shots on goal. Tage Thompson, 5. Peyton Krebs, 4. Physical game for Matias Samuelson. He leads the way with 4 hits. But you look at what Buffalo did in this game, 41 shots, and you add in the shots and the shot attempts and the missed shots, they end up with 73 shot attempts in this game. That, again, should be plenty enough, but only 2 goes in. The power play was better. They did get that second goal at the end of the power play. It ends up being even strength officially. But Buffalo on the night 0 for 3 and Edmonton 0 of 1. The Sabres at least were disciplined, stayed out of the box. Edmonton's power play is dangerous. They only gave them 1 chance. Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. And the Sabres getting healthier today. Jason Zucker returning from illness. Ryan McLeod returning from the injured reserve list. So the only player that's injured right now, Jordan Greenway. The injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, so there are your stats from this one. Let's go ahead and read some tweets now as we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Visit your local Verizon store today. You can always send them in after each and every game at BrianWGR. Okay, let's go ahead and read some here. Gary says, can we simply agree the Sabres, along with the Chicago Bears, are simply the worst-run franchises in pro sports? After all the coaches, all the draft picks, there can be little other reasons. Well, Gary, you may be a Bears fan, too. You're in pain if you are. There's no argument against it. The Sabres have the longest streak in NHL history. We're going to be going on 14 seasons without missing the playoffs, so I have no disagreement at all from what you're saying right there. Bob says, after the loss, come on now, number one pick. Sabres continue to slide and love it. Firing Adams and a high draft pick, that's the silver lining. Well, that may be what happens. Again, I'm very curious to see what happens going into the trade deadline. Do you want Kevin Adams making moves at the trade deadline if you're ultimately going to fire him anyway at the end of the year? Like, if you don't want him to be the guy to lead the team, shouldn't Terry Pegula fire him before the trade deadline? Which means you probably would have done it already. So curious how that'll play out. If you're going to let him handle the trade deadline, then, well, does that mean he's coming back for another season? So really interesting there. Ryan says, after the no-goal ruling that Kulik kicked the puck into the net, he's like, when it rains, it pours for this godforsaken franchise. Yes, it has been tough. A couple of Hudson Fashing mentions in my tweets here. Steven says, didn't Hudson Fashing somehow do that 2 years ago against us? Yep, that was something that we all remember. A painful loss for Buffalo when they were in that run toward what ultimately was 1 point short of a playoff spot. Thanks again for sending your tweets in. You can always find me there at BrianWGR on Blue Sky and on Twitter. Send them in there as we get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. All right, let's go ahead now and see what happened elsewhere as we get our scores from around the league. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Finals from the afternoon games elsewhere. Boston gets 3 points from David Pastrnak. They'll be in Buffalo on Tuesday and defeat Colorado by a score of 3-1. Other games, Seattle, a 4-1 win over Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby, was he in trade rumors last night on social media? Oh, the Penguins are struggling. They are third from the bottom. Only the Islanders and Sabres are worse. Seattle winning 4-1. There's a whole set of games just about set to get started here at 7 o'clock. St. Louis and Dallas ready to get going. Montreal will host New Jersey. Toronto at Ottawa. Tampa in Detroit. LA is in Columbus. The Blue Jackets right now are still holding on to the final playoff spot by a point over the Rangers, and Calgary is at Minnesota. 7:30 start on Long Island as the Isles host the Hurricanes. Mikko Rantanen expected to be in the lineup tonight, as will Taylor Hall for Carolina. And there's three games late. Washington is at Vancouver at 10. Nashville is at Anaheim. And the San Jose Sharks host the Florida Panthers. Couple of Big Four men's college hoop scores today. Unfortunately, unfortunately on the wrong end of the contest. UB losing on the road at Eastern Michigan, 90-77 to drop to 6-13. Canisius drops to 2-18. They lose at home at the Kessler Center to Marist, 70-47. And Niagara, in a close second half, they let Sacred Heart pull away, and they fall 86-77. Niagara is now 7-13. If you're looking for college hoops to watch tonight, matchup of 1 versus 6, Auburn, number one in the country, hosting sixth-ranked Tennessee. That's at 8:30 on ESPN. And again, if you want hockey for tonight, well, you got a ton of it. And a reminder for all of you listening here on our flagship on WGR, Bills coverage all day long tomorrow for the AFC Championship, starting at 10 a.m., taking you all the way through kickoff at 6:30. Chris Brown, Eric Woods, Sal Capaccio on the call, and then, of course, our post-game show. And who knows if the Bills win, how long it'll go. Maybe it'll just go all night. We'll see what happens here. As the Bills tomorrow are a win away from going to Super Bowl 59, which would be pretty impressive. This is the most confident I feel about the Bills playing in Kansas City against the Chiefs in a playoff game since really, you know, Allen versus Mahomes has gotten going. Kansas City's offense this year has proven to not be as lethal. They didn't get to 30 once all season. I think the Bills have an opportunity tomorrow to finally get this hurdle that has been really eluding them done for a long time. I think it sets up great. The running game's been excellent. Joe Brady has been very good at getting that going. I want them in the end, though, if this game is at all close late, just please, my wish is let Josh Allen win you the game. Whether it's going for it on fourth down, whether it's throwing versus run, like, look, you came here because of Josh Allen. He ultimately is the number one reason why you're here right now. Let him win it for you. Put the ball in his hands, Joe Brady, Sean McDermott. Let him do it for you here tomorrow. And I think the Bills win. For whatever it's worth, I like him to win tomorrow 30-24. 6-point win, 30-24. But we'll see if it gets it done. Chiefs are excellent at home. They don't beat themselves, but their offense has been okay in comparison to what it's been. So I think the streak will stay that Kansas City doesn't get to 30 again. So I like the Bills to win 30-24. So let's hope that plays out tomorrow. Again, coverage all day long on WGR starting at 10 o'clock. All right, well, the Sabres end up falling 3-2. Again, Boston will be next at 7 on Tuesday, and we'll have the pregame show starting at 6 o'clock that night. And with that, we'll put a wrap on our post-game show tonight. Want to thank our crew, Brendan Nightingale, our network producer. Thank you, Brendan. Good job tonight. Kyle Powell on our social media. You can check out his game story, WGR550.com. Tom Matty is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. The final again from Edmonton, the Oilers 3 and the Sabres 2. Everybody enjoy the Bills game and the Bills coverage tomorrow. And I'll talk to you Tuesday with Sabres in Boston from KeyBank Center, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everybody.